Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
So by the end of the program today, I want to come up with, I want answers by the end of the show today. And I'll ask you a bevy of questions and then hopefully we can get the answers to these questions. What does it mean when you cut a first round pick in the middle of a winning season? Right? What does that mean? What does it mean when you're trying to convince everybody it's a rebuild, but you gave up picks for L'Jarius Sneed and signed Boyd and capped DeAndre Hopkins and gave Calvin Ridley a giant pile of fucking money? Like, I'd like to get some answers there. Nick Sirianni mic'd up perfectly on the sideline, having a come to Jesus with Saquon Barkley in a blowout against the New York Giants. Does that mean it's all Tiger Woods 1 week removed and that guy is not a buffoon? I'd like an answer to that before the end of the show today. I'd like to know how Buffalo Wild Wings stays open. I'd like for one of you to explain to me how an establishment that is universally known to have the worst customer service. I mean, this is ubiquitous. Like, I've done research, and the two places that people seem to think don't give a fuck whether their customers live or die are the Home Depot and Buffalo Wild Wings. Only I'm not going to the Home Depot to watch football, right? Like, I can figure it out for myself at Home Depot. The only thing I really need those apron-wearing jerks to help me with is the fact that they've got everything locked up now, right? There's so much shoplifting and everybody's allowed to shoplift and you're allowed to steal up to $800 worth of shit or whatever the fuck it is. And the criminals are the ones that are the victims and yada, yada, yada. We all know the slogans, right? But the bottom line is when I go in to buy a Dremel in the hardware department, I've got a wait for a dickhead to come unlock the gate because everybody else can't work within the parameters of society. How do these places stay open? These are questions of which I need an answer. Also, I want to know the sadistic motherfucker that put these on the market. I want to know the asshole that put 70 calorie soft baked bars on the market. I didn't see the Fiber One portion of this. I didn't see Fiber One on the box when I bought these. And now I've got the gurgling. I can't even explain. There's a babbling brook going on in my loins. How does B-Dub stay in business? They're witty advertisements of retired football players, of course. Well, I like the fucking flying. I like the Flappy Buffalo ad. I really do. Horrible service. Horrible. Tor quit. He won't be on the show anymore. You all predicted it.
Hey, what are we talking about?
You know, I get those messages every week. They're like, oh, God, missed Tor when he's no longer on.
There was a medical emergency on the Hoboken line today, people. That's all I could chalk it up to. Someone jumped the tracks like I wish I had. The bravery and the really just self-knowledge to be able to do so. I'm envious. I am, because I had to sit on the train. I couldn't just take the easy way out.
I look up to people that can pull the trigger. I think they're heroes. You're right. I'm gonna explain something to you.
Oh.
Don't try to do better, Tor. Whatever you do. I know you've lost some weight. I know you're feeling better about yourself. But I've gotten into a nasty habit of when I go to the grocery store, finding myself a little snick snack for as I'm walking around in the grocery store. So I'm not as voracious when I get out. And I picked these up. There's six of them in this box. And I ate all six. And I'll do some quick mental math. Six times seven, that's six touchdowns. That's 35, right? So 350 calories, not the end of the world. Even less if you then had the running gun fight that I did from the truck into the house. And then you texted me and said, hey, can we start at 5:30? I said, we better start at 5:30, because if not, you're going to hear the splitter splatter of all these Fiber One bars. Oh, yeah.
No. I can't have you dueling with the fiber right now.
I just can't even. Corey Rita, you're a lying liar. Thank you for the $9.99 super chat, though. I do appreciate that. The chocolate brownie version of those are May I. Hell! You can keep them, brother. Your stomach is built of stronger stuff than mine. Oof. Thank you for the super chat. Go ahead. What?
I didn't even enjoy the flavor of the chocolate brownie version of those little snacks. You can't do the healthy chocolate stuff. It tastes like asbestos or wall filler.
These are delicious. The cinnamon coffee cake, I can absolutely attest to the flavor. It's the aftertaste, if you get what I mean, Tor, that I'm not too keen on. We do accept super chats on this show. Hit the like button or it's over for you. Boy, we have a lot to talk to. This actually worked out good this week because Monday Night Football was such a goddamn gong show, what with the injuries. And, well, we should probably start here, Tor. Best place to start is at the top. And if there's one man that we think is at the top right now, it's this man. Derrick Henry ranks this season first in rushes, first in rushing yards, first in rushing touchdowns, first in yards per carry, first in rushing first downs, longest rushes, scrimmage yards, scrimmage touchdowns, all of that. King Henry, he's going to be 31 this year, I believe. I knew it would work. I think we all knew it would work, Tor. I didn't think it would. The motherfucker is Eric Dickerson in his prime, you know, going into double digits in the NFL. I mean, nobody should be able to be this effective at this age, at that position in the NFL, regardless of matchups and circumstances. This is an unbelievable season for him.
We're seeing when I'm watching Derrick Henry now, I'm recalling what I'm watching currently, that feeling of when's the king going to break it open? When's he just going to take the game over? And that is a feeling from 2 years ago. I didn't have it much last year. I just didn't. It didn't seem to be working. The offensive line in Tennessee was admittedly worse than they are in Baltimore. But this year it's okay. Let him get to the outside a couple times and the game is going to be over because he's just going to ice it. And if we just do routine Derrick Henry stuff, which is 4.5 yards and he's going to get a touchdown at some point, then that wins games for the Ravens. But to seal games and to win in dominating fashion, you need that version of that dude. And they have that version of that dude.
Keep in mind that you didn't see it last year. He still had 280 carries, almost 2,000 yards, average over 4 yards a carry. And oh, by the way, 12 touchdowns. And what I'm not trying to show you up, I'll agree with you, a tragic offensive performance by the Titans. Nothing as tragic as what we're seeing this year, but he is good on a bad team. And we say that about, who do we say that about? We say that about Terry. We say that about Amari Cooper. It doesn't matter how tragic the offense is. These guys figure out a way to be productive. But that's not, this is Earl Campbell, man. This is not even like Derrick Henry. When Derrick, he's going to go, if he stays healthy, for 2 G's this year. And that's a real short list. And I don't know. What we talked about in the preseason was exactly what happened last night is, first of all, the resiliency of the defense going down 10-0, roaring back, and then they're knocking out players left and right. And I hate to say this, Tor, because I don't advocate it, but the best way to beat a football team is to put their best players on the sidelines. And whether they didn't mean to do it, but they did it. And then who wants to tackle that guy late in the third quarter? You're not big enough and strong enough, and you don't have a deep enough gas tank to tackle that load when it's coming at you running downhill. And that's why we see him break that big ass long run, because of course that's the only logical conclusion.
And it's still only mid-October. It's not cold yet. These teams and players haven't quit yet. You want to know he's going to get his chunk yardage when he's playing some victim team in week 15 in December when it's cold and nobody wants to play. That's when he's going to really break it open and make the big push. But I couldn't have pictured as good of a start for him as he's given. You're right saying we all thought it was going to work. It was just one of these simple A to B point correlations where you would say the Ravens run the ball well, Derrick Henry runs the ball well, and it's just going to work. To this extent is fantastic. And anybody that didn't, it's actually frustrating that the Ravens are the only team that he didn't get bid out for more. That the Ravens just landed a gem that's going to take them to the AFC championship this year. They just landed them. Everyone was like, yeah, maybe we'll call Derrick Henry. Maybe. No, yeah. The Ravens, the only ones that took it seriously.
Derrick Henry was available for $8 million. And I would have to assume the 31 other franchises said, no, thank you. We're set. And, you know, maybe some of them were. Like, I mean, Josh Jacobs is a fine back. Aaron Jones is a fine back. But nobody's doing what he's doing. This is galling. And I know it's just, you know, social media team worked up a graphic. And where's Joe Mixon on this list, Tor? Why are we looking at Kyler Murray and Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts? And no disrespect, Jaden Daniels is injured. We'll get to that. Why are we even looking at these names? Where's Joe Mixon? Where is Derrick Henry? Like, what insanity has been leveled at us? Where's TJ Watt? Like, when are we going to talk about the fact that, yeah, Lamar Jackson should be there? I don't know that Pat Mahomes should be where he is. I know these are gambling odds. I get it. That's not necessarily indicative of where votes would wrangle out or the, you know, the people that vote for this, what actually their brains are. But I'm just fucking, the quarterback bias feels antiquated at this point. And I really hope there's some sort of reckoning this year if Henry is capable of doing what he's doing. The problem is he's probably going to be the second place vote getter out of his own franchise this year.
For a season where everyone has just admonished the quarterback play and talked about how bad it's been through the first 7 weeks, and we have like the least amount of 300 plus yards per game passers through 7 weeks that we've seen recently, it doesn't feel justified. If you want to give me Lamar, that's fine. Mahomes, he's undefeated. Josh Allen's a beast. Jared Goff, that's great. And Jordan Love and Stroud look like dudes. Everyone else, embarrassing. Darnold, not as embarrassing. I like that they're throwing him in the mix. But realistically, this season has not been good for quarterbacks. So if you have an opportunity to make it fun, because we know how it's all going to shake out at the end of the year. We know it's going to be quarterback winning it, and whatever quarterback wins 3 out of 4 in December is going to win it, and the first 2 in January. But now's the time to kind of add some spice. Now's the time to make it fun and then put up a graphic with some running backs in true contention like there are. So to see that is disappointing, especially because there's not enough of a resume for most of those quarterbacks.
No, and it's not even a stretch to say it. Did you see – so the Cooper Kupp news is all over the place. Of course, the Rams, I guess there's a report from Diana Rossini that's saying that they're open to trading the, you know, the perennial Pro Bowler. I know Puka Nacua is coming back off the IR this week as well. So they're getting healthy, but I saw some of those wackadoo fucking clickbait conglomerate Twitter saying that the Vikings were speaking to them about Matt Stafford. Did you see any of that?
I heard rumblings about that, about Matt Stafford.
Is there any reputable source that's reporting that?
Haven't seen the big dog chime in yet. That seems just silly to me. Matt Stafford's great, but at this point in the season, if your analysis is that Matt Stafford has outplayed Sam Darnold, and which one would give you a better shot at a true Super Bowl, it's Sam Darnold. As much as I would have laughed at myself 2 years ago for saying that, it's true. Stafford's going to get banged up. He already looks every game. Who's the play? Oh, Morgan Moses.
Right.
You always said that Morgan Moses looks like he gets ran over by a truck every time after every play. Matt Stafford looks like he's coming back from Vietnam after every single football game. He's taped up. He's got ice. His hair is always a total mess. He's a great quarterback, but he is not. I don't think he's going to be a true late season winner that a team needs.
Well, I mean, that's what he was. He was a late season. He was the difference maker for the Rams, but maybe I was thinking about, because one of the things I want to talk about today is Russell Wilson and Mike Tomlin with his big old fucking nutsack going out there and saying, no, I'm not going to do what the owner wants. I'm not, but no coach in the league has got the balls to do what Tomlin does, which is tell whomever is above him, no, we're going to do what I want to do because I'm the fucking head coach and you hired me to do this. And he's got the resume to do it. But I wonder if people are looking at that decision, Tor, and saying, and the Vikings are looking at their team and saying, we're good enough to win a Super Bowl. And we think that Sam Darnold could get us to the playoffs. And we think that Sam Darnold could get us to 10 wins. But Matt Stafford could get us to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. And I would wonder how influential what Tomlin is going to do in a copycat league where we see people try to mimic what the winning franchises do. Because Russell Wilson could be, and they're gonna, I guess they're going to give him another. I guess the plan was two games. It's interesting, both two games against our New York teams, which are very bad. Also interesting, by the way, and I hate to be all over the place, Nick Sirianni can coach again because they beat two of the worst teams in the league in back-to-back weeks. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But Stafford, I wonder if they're looking at Stafford saying that guy in 2 weeks is going to make us better than Green Bay. It's going to make us better than Detroit, and we want to at least sniff around to see if it's a possibility. I wouldn't be that shocked if that was the case.
I'm not going to be offended if my team is doing well and is looking at every viable option to do better. I'm not going to be offended by it. Even if I disagree with it, I think that they're well within their right to inquire about Matt Stafford if they truly believe he can do it. But if I'm also from the camp of, if it's not broken, don't fix it. And the Detroit needed a crazy miracle to beat you at home. All right. Someone needs to have a reality check in the building and say, we're doing pretty good.
Right.
And look, this is how the ball rolls. Sometimes it's an oblong ball. You're not going to get every fumble. So chalk it up. You got your first loss of the year. It's your first loss of the year. Yeah, if you're being hardo, unsatisfied about it, I get it. It's football. It's ego. But at the same time, the Vikings are well within the top 10 teams in the NFL at this point.
And I don't want to say the Steelers were winning in spite of Justin Fields, but they weren't winning because of Justin Fields. And Darnold's made enough plays this year where you could say he's one of the reasons that they're winning. Whereas if you put Mason Rudolph in where Justin Fields was, the Steelers might have the same fucking record, you know? And I think it's disrespectful to what Darnold's accomplished. If J.J. McCarthy is your quarterback this year, as high as they were on him, I don't think they have the record they do. Unless they see something in practice tour where they're like, we've reached the ceiling of potential, or defenses are seeing something. I don't know. I didn't see that in that game against of the Lions. I saw two of the best teams in the NFC slugging it out. All right, speaking of the best teams in the NFC, the goddamn Eagles are supposed to be one, and we went from, of course, the whole rigmarole with the coach screaming in the sidelines and using his kids as a bulletproof shield. They are the Giants' reckoning. You and I talked about it on Sunday on our game day show, that it was interesting to see Giants fans kind of elevate above rooting for their little fiefdom and acknowledge Saquon Barkley. But the perfectly mic'd exchange that was caught between Sirianni and Saquon, or I guess he was approaching a benchmark, I wanted to get your thoughts and give my thoughts on this, because there's been much discussion in the past 24 hours about it.
15 yards away from your career high. I would love for you to get that, but that's up to you. I'm going to take out all the starters if they don't score.
You good? Let them eat.
You sure?
Yeah, good.
You sure?
I promise.
I'll listen to me. I want you to do it if you want to do it.
So I'd rather see the young boys eat.
So, first blush, you like to see this, right? It's the player being unselfish. It's the coach going to the player and superstar, giving him that respect, taking his thoughts into account. Are you buying it, Tor? Are you buying what this is? Or do you think this is a clever PR opportunity for the coach of the Eagles?
You know, the Ringling brothers sometimes have to go to Akron and Fresno. All right. They're not always in New York. They're not always in DC or Atlanta. Sure. So I'm not going to forget, just because they're not in my town, that the clowns and the circus are on the move. And that's what Nick Sirianni stays. He continues to do. This means nothing to me from him. I have mixed feelings all about this. The mic'd up coaches, like, I recall the Harbaugh, go for it. What do you want to do, Lamar?
Sure.
Fourth and two. I think it goes back to a little bit of a little deflection here. Like,
also,
all right,
he knew he was going to go for it. It also got all of the juice out of, oh, he trusted. I think these guys are smart enough to realize when they got a mic on them, Tor, here's some opportunity for me to win some PR points back.
Oh yeah, big time. All right, look at me. I'm a player's coach. I'm gonna go and have it is still, even if he wasn't mic'd up, probably the right thing to do. But it's because he's mic'd up and there's 30 cameras on every sideline watching your every move now. When you have an opportunity to look like the baby face after being heavily criticized all season he should have taken. It was the smart move to do that, but it was still a cornball move from him, tape to tape. Saquon Barkley, I'm happy for him. Yeah, he could have gone and gotten it, but he also understands this offense is running through me right now. So if I don't need to take a late game hit or injury, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay fresh and do everything with the Eagles that I hadn't done with the Giants.
Let me ask you about this.
You're 13 yards away from your career high. I would love for you to get that.
Do you believe that?
No.
I don't either. I don't think it has anything to do with that. Mike Zimmer got a lot of shit. I forgot what the record was, but Mike Zimmer took Justin Jefferson out. I think he was breaking a Randy Moss record with the Minnesota Vikings. And he was asked about it in the press conference. It was mentioned a couple of times in the coverage of this. And he said, I don't care about records. I care about winning games. And I think that's probably closer to where I'm at with this. Who's impressive here to me is Saquon. And I think he realized in the moment, I've done everything I need to do. I've proven that I was right. I've come back into this burg where I wanted to be, and they're completely dysfunctional, and here we are beating their fucking brains in, and I don't want to get injured. I don't want to get hurt. You know, my all-time career high, I've got several years to hit that still. So I don't believe Sirianni. We've already seen him position himself, you know, use people that are close to him as props. I also don't really care all that much. And also, this doesn't mean that they're back, Tor. I mean, them blowing out the Giants is a zero-sum game for me. Like, you're not a bad football team. You should beat the Giants. Like, Daniel Jones is terrible. That is an awful football team. And you had half the fans in the stadium were yours. You weren't even really – it wasn't even much of a road game, and it was a revenge game for Saquon. So everything is still on hold very much for me with the Eagles. And just, you know, other than what is physically what's wrong with Jaden Daniels, to me that is still the biggest X factor in the NFC East right now, not what the Eagles are doing to the Giants.
Yeah, this whole – interaction, it doesn't feel like, first of all, I don't like telling the idea of telling a player or a pitcher, hey, you got a no hitter going,
yeah,
or hey, you could do this, because why would you get in an athlete's head, get them all fired up, and then see what happens? There's a lot of ego and motivation going along with it. Maybe he knew his stats, he probably didn't, but it also doesn't feel like Walter Payton not getting a touchdown in the 85 Super Bowl, which I know has been discussed at ad nauseum by Chicago Bears fans and NFL media, and how he was very hurt by it because it was a blowout game and everyone else is getting touchdowns. He didn't get one. But this is week 7 against the trash can New York Giants. Don't do it. Just chill. You're good. If you get 200 yards again and the next time you play them, good. Do it then. Right now, we need you to carry on the season, because this Philly team is still up for grabs. I have lost all faith in them. And they are just a plateaued team at this moment.
I think Jaden Daniels' health is more the thing that's popular right now on NFL X or NFL Twitter is people are posting all of his highlights from LSU and being like, are Commanders fans really shocked that he's no, nobody's shocked that the only beef that I have with Commanders fans, Tor, is not them being happy or excited. I mean, that's why you drafted Jaden Daniels where he was. That's why some people had him higher than Caleb Williams, is because he brought that dynamic aspect to the game. It's the ones that got too chesty. It's the ones that forgot where they were in 2012 when they had a lot of the same issues. And it's like, hey, man, let's be happy about this. But the we back and this fucking fan base is a sleeping giant and the division runs through us like, motherfucker. You see the same type of hits that this kid is getting that I do. Now, it's rib injury. It's week to week. They think he might play this week. But I pulled this tweet just because I thought that for Jaden and for Saquon not going in and for the Godwin, quote unquote, hip drop tackle, it's one of those things where, like, you've got to remember when we're criticizing players in the offseason, and I do the same shit. I hate it when guys hold out. And I hate it when guys like, I got to get my bag or I want to request a trader. It is up to these players to do everything they possibly can to get themselves the best possible financial situation. And if Brandon Ayuk, who we're showing right now on the screen, if you're listening to this podcast, if he didn't do all of those machinations and he wasn't Machiavellian behind the scenes and posting the IG videos, whatever the fuck worked for him, if he didn't get that bag after what happened to him on Sunday, How can you live with you? It's not just about the security that the money provides, Tor. It's about being able to live with yourself and you being in control of your own destiny. And I hope every fucking NFL player out there, when their coach comes to them and says, hey, do you want to go back out there in the fourth corner with garbage time players that are pissed off and try to get 17? No, sir. Let the young boys eat. I'll be right here on the sidelines.
I don't care how many wide receivers are down. Put a tight end out there. Put a running back out there. Let them run routes. It doesn't matter. Run inside zone. Safest play in football. Do anything but what we saw. It's awful for Ayuk. I know people were criticizing him for the season he was having already. So be it. You held out. You're going to get some criticism for that. But the injury is just awful. It does not help San Francisco in any facet. They were already on fraud watch going into this week, and they are continuously slipping.
Right.
They are slipping quickly also. You don't know when C-Mac is going to be back. I genuinely think it's going to be later than whenever he's expected to return. That double tendonitis is what took Gurley out. It's going to be tough, so he's got to really be feeling well, and he's going to be on a let's just hope he's feeling good at game time type situation. And then Deebo Samuel in the hospital with pneumonia. That's awful. But Deebo Samuel before the game also had a podcaster's body. That wasn't great. He was getting a little criticism for that. Yeah. So the 49ers are in a bad place. I'm glad Brandon Ayuk was able to get paid. I know he took the original deal he got from San Francisco, but all the effort to try to get more, this is why. Because if you tear your ACL and you blow your MCL and your knee is destroyed and it looks bad on the field, and you're sitting on a franchise tag, you got that franchise tag money for this year. Good. You got your, you know, you're averaging of the top five receivers, but there's no guaranteed contract after a torn ACL. Yeah. There just isn't.
This tweet says, horrible that it happened, but proves Ayuk was right to hold out. This is from Sam Sherman. He secured life-changing guaranteed money. This injury undoubtedly would have hurt him in negotiations had he not restructured his contract. Don't get mad for players getting what they deserve. I agree. It's tough in the moment as a fan, especially when you're looking at the types of funds that are being thrown around and saying, how is that not enough for you? But it's a different playing field, and we can't fault these guys what they have earned by being good at what they do as opposed to us being good at what we do. Largemouth Ass, $20 super chat. Thank you so much, buddy. Monks was great for lunch. Here we go, Steelers. We will get to the Steelers in just a couple of few. There's the chat. Everything Dukes is describing is what happened to the Browns fan base. They got obnoxious quick, and look at them. I think the Browns is different, Tor. I think the Browns have a good team. I think they have a good coach. And because they got greedy and because they made, and not just a bad move, like an all-time genre-defining, zeitgeist-shifting, paradigm-shifting, horrible. They went from a franchise on the verge of taking the next step to a poverty franchise. And how many weeks, by the way, Tor? Joe Flacco slinging it in the postseason to week 7 of the next year. It's fucking over for them, and they're selling off assets. I mean, we're talking about a raw deal, the likes of which we probably haven't seen for a playoff team. So I think it's slightly different to compare the Browns fan base to the Commanders fan base.
Yeah, the Commanders fan base is odd because they were old money, and then they went completely broke, and now they're new money again off of a big crypto boom selling meme coins, and they got their big lottery ticket in Jaden Daniels.
Look at you with the topical analogies.
But also, you know, they can be frustrating because if you haven't, you're acting like you haven't been there before, and I get it, you're very excited, but the 300 looks like a phantom until a phantom pulls up, and there are phantom franchises in the NFL, like the Steelers, like the Chiefs, like the Packers, that do it right consistently. They travel. Ravens. The Ravens, they don't get their stadiums invaded. They're passionate. They buy in, they sign the right players, they develop the right players. So it's been a good season for the Commanders. I'm happy for my friends that aren't just punching out by week 4, which is just genuinely what happened. They have life, and It's what we've been talking about since the genesis of talking football on this show. Was all you just want to be competitive at the end of the year. You want to be in the hunt, on the bubble. You want to have something to root for all throughout football season, because it's a very gutting experience if you know that your team is out of it by September. And there's no life.
Is it really? Yeah. Can I ask you something, Tor? What if your team was out of it, right? And they were voted by 24/7 Sports to be not only the worst franchise for this season, but also moving forward. And it's not just A.J. Brown eating and Derrick Henry eating and Ohio State lusting after Mike Vrabel. It's Marcus Mariota fucking marching offenses up and down the field. I mean, you want to talk about a very singular fall from grace. You haven't seen you can't even point at Jacksonville. You can't point at the Jets. You can't point at anything as bad as what's happening for the Titans right now as far as how bad they are, how badly they whiffed on their quarterback, how badly they whiffed on their new head coach, and these lies about a rebuild. You were fucking making signings and trades to win this year, and you can't be competitive against the Buffalo Bills. And then you have to watch all of these other guys that you said no thank you to have success week in and week out, including record-breaking success. Wow, that is a horse of a different color, I got to tell you.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Yeah, I just you got some aura about you, pal.
They were real good, and then Shude became a fan.
You're an asshole for bringing that up.
I just don't know. I don't believe in curses. Ghosts, sure. A little bit of voodoo here and there, yeah. But curses, not really. You know what? It's just
you don't want me pulling for you. You do not want me rooting for you. God. I think you should look. Tor should be like the learning curve for everyone. Treat me with mild disdain, and you will continue to gain opportunities in your life. If I've embraced you fully, it's over. Stick a fucking fork. I mean, it is wild, dude. Like, if you would have told me that Mason Rudolph, I thought he'd at least be able to go out there. I mean, they just fucking collapsed on themselves in the second half, and then Derrick Henry. Real quick. I wanted to talk to you a little bit before the Ravens, before we moved on the Buccaneers side of it. Godwin and Evans writhing around in pain in that game. To go on the road, win, but also take your opponent's soul, like take their season. I don't want to get too dramatic about this, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were Super Bowl contenders before yesterday. Evans, I think, is going to come back in what, after the bye week, they said. He's not done for the season.
Week 11, I think. Week 11 or week 12.
Are they going to go out and are the Buccaneers going to go out and try to trade for DeAndre Hopkins? I mean, who's going to be available now? You got is Cooper Kupp maybe in the cards for them? Like, could they make a couple calls there? Because they're a team that has not only division winning potential, but you would think NFC, you know, championship potential. They got to do something after that game.
Yeah, they're a really good team throughout, but a lot of their success is hinged on having two very good wide receivers on the outside, even if they're running the ball. There's the threat of a play action to Mike Evans or to Godwin. There's a threat of them taking the top off or just killing you up the middle. And that can't be replaced by middling wide receivers on that team. Right. They need to make a play. They need to get somebody that keeps the pressure on for them, because they're going to have a shot for the NFC South until the end of the year. They just will. I don't think this springboards Atlanta to run away with the division. They still have a lot of things that they need to figure out, I think, especially identity-wise. But Tampa Bay has their identity. Tampa Bay has the offensive line, the defensive line. They got the players, and they ran into a buzzsaw yesterday. Baltimore looks like the best team in the NFL, which is crazy because Detroit always also looks like the best team in the NFL, but it seems layered because Baltimore is just rolling. So you took a bad lick here. They need to get up off the mat and not let it slide, because they do have a good enough team. And I'm also, it's kind of like, this has to be what like parents feel like if they got like a drug addict kid. Right. Like, I don't want Baker to spiral. I like Baker having momentum and riding with it and having an offense and having the hot hand, the confidence. I don't want him to lose that. I think it's really good for football for him to be the 13th or 14th best quarterback, and then at times the 8th best quarterback that you could see on an NFL Sunday. So I'm really hoping he doesn't spiral.
I think to your point too, Baker needs weapons. No disrespect to him, but he needs two elite guys and good tight ends and running backs. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll still win that division most likely, no disrespect. But I think it does you well to acknowledge this is this is not Lamar. This is not a one-man army. Let's give this guy another weapon. The opposite of that is whatever the fucking Kansas City Chiefs are. And look, the 49ers and the Chiefs are moving in two different directions. And if you would have told me that the 49ers, despite players getting shot and weird injuries and persistent injuries, they'd be 3-4 with Kyle Shanahan out there and all the weapons that they have, I would have said you're crazy. But Tor, they're still the 49ers. You're still playing in California, and you're doing this with Kareem Hunt. I mean, you're doing this with Noah Gray and Samaje Perine and Mercole Hardman. I mean, it is fucking unbelievable. You can't really, I hate saying this, you can't give them enough praise, the Kansas City Chiefs, for where they are and the types of injuries at the places they've had them at, combined with the fact that, yeah, they signed Hollywood Brown in the offseason, but, you know, they're not bringing in a Jamar Chase type and being like, oh, take a look at what we're adding. It's still, you know, it is
Juju Smith-Schuster who they're bringing in.
Xavier Worthy, we're going to give him 3 end arounds, and that's going to, you know, he's going to have more rushing touchdowns than most starting running backs in this league. It is unbelievable how persistent they are at winning, despite what, you know, is occurring to their roster each and every week.
They're inevitable, and I thought that maybe last year they weren't inevitable, and they proved me wrong all throughout the playoffs.
They are this year, dude.
They're just inevitable, and I got to give them credit. It's not even Kelce. Kelce, the only thing they're saying good about him is his blocking, which is true. He's a good blocker. I don't mind them bringing that up, but he's washed. A lot of the offense is washed. I made the smartest bet I've ever made in my life this past Sunday, and that's when Mahomes doesn't have weapons. And Pacheco's not back there. Mecole Hardman is going to score a touchdown. And I won big money knowing that they were going to give it to him. They even called one back. It could have been Mecole Hardman 2 touchdown scorers in this game. They just make it work. I don't know. He's got like that. He's got that Rodgers gene where if he's got his guys and he's got chemistry with them, he can do no wrong. And even if they do wrong, he's just comfortable, I think, with the sad sacks around him.
Help me explain this to, I'm not going to have any grandchildren, and God willing, neither will you, but help me explain this to them. Pat Mahomes is going to lead the league in interceptions. He's going to go out there and go 16-27 for $154, 0 touchdowns and 2 picks against the 49ers. And they win. That is a losing line. I don't even think he's the best quarterback in his division at times this year. And yet he's the best quarterback in the league. I hope at some point we're able, because Andy Reid won with Alex Smith, right? Like Andy Reid won with Donovan McNabb. These are not Hall of Fame quarterbacks, I don't believe. I hope one day we're able to have a moment where it's Belichick and Brady, where we really find out like which one deserves the more credit, because Brady deserves the more credit. We know that now definitively. It's just wild to me how averagely, and let's just say below averagely, he can play at times, and it doesn't matter. That team still has the and then to the off the field shit. Think about all the boxes the Chiefs check as far as dysfunction goes, and none of it fucking matters when it comes down to their record at the end of the season.
Patrick Mahomes skews the entire quarterback or wins on a quarterback stat narrative. He skews it all, and everybody likes to say that. It's not a quarterback stat. It's not. It's a full team. I get it, pal. But are you watching this dude?
Right.
Let's take the lenses off and start looking at it just specifically at this guy. He's winning football games. He is, and he's throwing 2 picks. But somehow the picks aren't losing football games. It's crazy. And I know the defense is good. Letting George Karlaftis fall to the Chiefs was a crime that I'll never forgive the other 31 teams in the NFL, because he's been a stud. They continue to just, I don't know. They play hard for Andy Reid, and I think they play hard for Patrick Mahomes. Hard to do that with millionaires. Hard to do that with millionaires with bad knees in their 30s. And they go out and they do it. The offensive line is great. I'm not going to take that away from him. That's crucial, keeping that guy upright and the run game and all that. But they're not running for a ton of yards.
No,
they're not.
They found Kareem Hunt was bagging groceries 3 weeks ago. That guy was sitting out there, and the Cowboys could have signed him. Go down the list of fucking teams that need a back, and the Chiefs just make it work. Who knows if it would work for anyone else? It probably wouldn't. He had 2 touchdowns on Sunday. It should be stated, Tor, that while we're talking about this, is that horrific. And I think you and I talked about it on Sunday. I can't remember. I've done so many shows that 43 people listen to that I fucking that all run together. But that little run where he's like going around the side and doing this, and everyone's like, oh my God, Mahomes, when he needs to, he can tuck it and run. Motherfucker, they know they can't touch that guy.
Yeah, that, I'm glad you brought that up. It was a disgusting.
It was disgusting.
Post. It was disgusting for the NFL to praise that, because you know that the defense took the pedal off because they thought he was running out of bounds. And that is quarterback privilege.
Yep.
That's what it is. And he tried to get away with one. And I'm glad he did. But we're going to see some quarterbacks getting lit up on the sidelines because they don't want to give up 35 free yards.
And beyond those. What about when he fucking hits that DB in the fucking end zone and then stands over him like he's Lou Ferrigno or something? It's like, bitch, if anyone was allowed to touch you, you'd be 6 feet under right now with the way you run around the field with a broomstick up your ass. That drives me insane that is a direct result of the enabling by the rules and the officials. And then we want to celebrate it like it's some accolade. Patrick Mahomes deserves a shitload of credit for a lot of stuff, but that ain't his bit right there.
The roughing the passer has evolved from, okay, you just lit up the quarterback at his head or at his knees or his ankles. All right, you can't do that. Then it became, all right, you lit up the quarterback to his chest after the throw. Okay, you can't do that. Now you got the quarterback while he had the ball, but you put your body weight on him, and we're going to need you to start learning how to contort your body and not fall directly on the QB. That's roughing the passer. And it's finally evolved to, you can't look happy that you took a quarterback to the ground.
Nope.
And because if you look like you got one over on the quarterback, they're going to throw a flag. You need to genuinely look apologetic for taking that guy to the ground. And then the quarterback will turn around, and if he has a truck stick or a first down, he's in everyone's face. It is really a double standard that I do not like within this league.
He's zesty as hell, that Pat Mahomes. Whatever this thing is, every time he does it, I just want to bang my head against the fucking wall and be like, I wish David Deacon Jones was playing for 1 week in this league and we'd sort this whole thing out. Jack Lambert would have this sorted by the end of the first quarter. Paul M., God willing, Tor doesn't have any kids. Thank you for the $20 super chat, Paul. That's horrible of you.
Thanks, Paul. Now, Namakung Su got out when he should have.
Great call on that.
We're not far removed from him stomping people. It wasn't that long ago, and it feels like a completely different football game.
Bro, how about Myles Garrett? Look, I don't think you should cheer DeSean Jackson blowing up his Achilles. Like, I just think that's a bad look for your karma. But Myles Garrett going up there saying, those Browns fans, we don't boo off fallen comrades. Like, motherfucker, you were swinging. You tried to kill a quarterback in front of the entire world. You're not the one to make this speech right now.
Maybe that set it off. Maybe it was his fault that everyone started clutching their pearls about that thing. I mean,
was that,
I know
Rudolph?
The
who was that? Which quarterback was that?
Was it Duck? It was either
either Steelers Devlin, quarterback.
Yeah, it was either Devlin Hodges or Mason Rudolph.
You're saying names that I gratefully had forgot and played quarterback. Paul, thank you. I think it was Mason Rudolph. I think it was. Somebody in the chat, please let us know. Paul M., thank you so much for the $20 super chat. That's a very mean thing for you to say to our buddy Gigantor. It's nice enough to show up here. Canon Hotep, $9.99. Thank you, brother. Salute coming through to show some love. How about those Ravens? Hey, man, look, I don't know if they're the best team in the league. Tor mentioned Detroit. They're the team that I would pay the money to watch. The Ravens are playing the best football in the league, and that, to me, was the best performance. Better than the Steelers, better than Kansas City. You can go down the list of the big games. Them going south, taking the soul of the Buccaneers, ruining their season, running all over them. And then the part, Tor, again, they are getting better. Remember the Dallas game. You know you remember it, where they're up by fucking four scores, and somehow at the end of the game, it's a toenail biter? You bite your toenails? It's a nail biter. Jesus Christ, can you imagine if people were sitting there with at the end, because they let Dak and those guys roar back into it? That is the opposite of what they did in this game. It shows you that not only are they great, but they are getting better from week to week.
Yeah, this team started 0-2 and could have easily been 1-2. What a fall from grace the Cowboys had from just barely winning against the best team in the league. They've ripped off five in a row, and they're likely going to make it seven. Browns and then Broncos back-to-back weeks.
I wrote this down for.
Yeah.
Listen, these are the teams, by the way. Since the Oakland loss, they beat the Cowboys, the Bucks, the Commanders, the Bengals, and the Bills. Is there a
bad... what they did last year? Yeah. It's exactly what they did last year at the end of the season, except they're doing it at the beginning, taking themselves seriously. That's what got Lamar his MVP, was he beat the 49ers. He beat the Bills. He beat every team that we thought was going to be contending in the AFC, and then they beat the NFC's best team at that point. And now we're just ripping it from the start, from the get-go. Baltimore's legit this year. They are, and I'm not... If I may be made to look like a fool, then I will truly will, because I believe it at this point that they are a legit Super Bowl contender.
If I'm a Commanders fan, I'm feeling way better about Jaden Daniels sticking with the Ravens than I am about Marcus Mariota burying the Carolina Panthers. I think that goes without saying. Cannon, thank you so much. Yeah, your Ravens are, and this is the first time in my life, Tor, I haven't rooted against the Ravens. I don't know how you can. I don't know how you can watch what they're doing and not be entertained. This is going to sound, I'm going to sound like a fucking simpleton here, and that's fine. Lamar and Derrick Henry with those crazy face masks with the shields over them and the black helmets and the sleeved up, they fucking look like monsters out there. You're like, holy shit, this is a Marvel movie. I don't know how you can't, it's must-see TV every time those two guys are in the backfield together. I don't know as a football fan how you can't be enjoying it.
Yeah, and they're getting better at their wide receiving core. I mean, Zay Flowers, one target last night. Not great, but you know he's got it. Mark Andrews coming back to form, four catches. And then
woke him up.
Then Rashad Bateman, who had been written off 2 years ago from the NFL, written off as just being a bust first-round receiver. The one thing that the Ravens can't draft is receiver. Okay, there's the narrative. That's the one thing they can't do, and historically they couldn't. And now he's playing well. He had 100 plus yards and a touchdown. That's huge for them. For them, and that's a good team knowing that they had something. They knew they had something. They didn't abandon it. And it's exactly the opposite of what Denver did with Tim Patrick, letting him go to Detroit and make play after play after play.
Here's a stat for you. Monday night marked the fifth career game in which Lamar Jackson recorded 5+ passing touchdowns and 0 interceptions, the most such performances in the NFL since Jackson entered the league in 2018. It was also his fifth career game with a 155+ passer rating, tying Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger for such games in NFL history for people that say that he's just a running back there. Likely is a fucking problem, Tor. Somebody woke Andrews up. Zay Flowers is a difference maker. And then when all of that isn't taking place, you have a sledgehammer and a scalpel in the backfield that can run the football. Cannon says the secondary is still sus. Man, if you can hang 40, it don't fucking matter in this.
Shoot, did you say Peyton or Paynton?
Peyton.
Oh, okay.
Peyton.
I'm gonna paint in my wall Cobain style if I see that commercial again.
Whatever they're paying, man, they're definitely getting representation. Speaking of paying, not that they have to pay us, Tor, because it's just my pleasure to be in here and tell you about Dream Stay Getaways, our presenting sponsor. Yes, take a look at some of these spatial abodes. If you're going down to visit the Pox, going down to Disney, going down to Universal, get out of the goddamn winter, stay at one of these beautiful properties. They're on resorts, the Oasis Getaway, 8 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, sleeps up to 16 people. Look at all the stuff you could do before you even get to the parks. Book directly through their website. That's what we're featuring here on the screen, dreamstaygetaways.us. They're on Instagram. You can see all the properties and book through the website. You avoid all the Vrbo fees. You avoid all the Airbnb fees and all that nonsense. If you're going to Disney this winter, that's the only place for you. Dreamstaygetaways.us. Thank you for being our presenting sponsor today. Much love to you, Chief of DC. Thank you for joining us. Hit the like button, you cowards. I pulled this because you brought up Dak. And I pulled this because it's interesting to see both CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott get their money. And to see how far that this team has fallen from grace. But the Cowboys' next 5 games, San Francisco, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Houston, and Washington. How many of those games do they win, Gigantor?
Oh, none. They don't win one of those games.
I was going to say one, and I don't feel confident in picking them to beat any of those teams.
I wanted to say one against Philly, but then I started thinking, the Cowboys are awful. They're god awful. They're bad on defense. They're arguably worse on offense. They're bad. And it's their fault. It is directly their fault as to why they're bad. They haven't been hit by the bad injury bug like San Francisco or Los Angeles has. They haven't. They've just not shown up for games plenty of times this year. And even if they do show up, they're not talented enough and they're not well coached. And they have a buffoon at the head coach position. I can't believe you're just walking around your street on the street on a Tuesday, just thinking about stuff. And you're like, Mike McCarthy still has a job as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Won a lot of games
into my
man.
Mind. Yeah, he hasn't done dick, in my opinion. Not a damn thing. Oh my God. He blows games. He doesn't know how to manage the clock. He's been in the NFL for 20 years. Doesn't know how to manage the clock. You can play Madden and learn how to manage the clock.
I think Dak could be Jared Goff. You know, like I think he could go to San Francisco and have a bunch of success if that team was healthy. Do you think he could do what Baker did? Like, go down the list. Like, what's Dak's ceiling of potential? Because he could play quarterback. We've seen him put up cartoonish numbers when he's got a shitload of weapons. You know, when they've got Michael Gallup and they got Amari Cooper and they got CeeDee Lamb and Ezekiel Elliott in his prime. It's like, but that's the limit, right? Like, he's got to be nestled into the F1 car. He is not a rising tide raises all ships, guys. They paid him like he was. And then CeeDee Lamb, if Troy Aikman is telling you that CeeDee Lamb is running disgusting routes during this season, I mean, then you've got two mentally weak guys that you've given all that fucking money to. I wonder how much of it is that toward, how much of it is the fact that they just completely neglected the rest of their roster the entire offseason and acted like because they're Dallas, they're just going to get gifted 12 wins in this season.
I think Dak could take any team in the NFC West to the playoffs. I don't think he is
interesting
suited for Dallas. That it's run its course. There was too much weirdness this offseason. I think that whole Jerry paying him on day one, I knew it was suspect when I first saw it. You paid him on the first game of the season that Sunday. That's when you're kicking it off. You couldn't have done it any earlier. He was playing mind games, and I think it took its toll. I say, go ahead. It's you and CeeDee Lamb, pal. And CeeDee Lamb, you could just tell he's frustrated. How could he not be? He's an elite wide receiver, and he's got nobody else around him. Nobody. I don't want to hear about Kevontae Turpin. Kevontae Turpin is not a wide receiver two for the Dallas Cowboys with a massively paid quarterback in Dak Prescott and a massively paid wide receiver one in CeeDee Lamb.
You and Kyle Brandt were sucking him off 2 weeks ago right here on this very show.
I was sucking off Kevontae Turpin?
Yeah, the two of you were. You were both singing his praises in the same segment.
I remembered the only other offensive player on the Dallas Cowboys. That's it. I wanted to look like I had some knowledge in front of Kyle Brandt.
Oh, man, he does that. There's a show when they do a 9 o'clock game on the NFL network. And there's like that time in between when they start the coverage and when they're still, he just does that panel show up there and he's wearing a full suit instead of dressed like, you know, he's a skateboarder like he does on Good Morning Football.
Yeah.
You thought that guy was handsome dressed casually. That's a dude that cleans up well. That is a dude that could take your girl away from you no matter what banquet you're at. I was very intimidated.
Do you think he does pull-ups?
I mean, he's got the V. He's got to have a 26-inch waist. Don't let him see this clip. All right, let's talk about – I want to talk about Russell Wilson, and I want to talk about the Jets game because that was such an insane – the whole thing with the Devontae Adams trade and the coach getting fired, and then the Steelers – the Steelers have been very un-Steelers-like. I mean, they're giving up on first-round picks. They're bringing in crazy fucking quarterbacking scenarios. This is not the way they act, and this is – this is out of pocket for Mike Tomlin. He's a guy that's loyal, that sticks with his players, and he went against the grain. What did he say? I called the code red, or I called a wild card. I forgot the verbiage he used to describe putting Russell Wilson in there. Russell Wilson could not have started any worse than he did for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the way that I heard it described on Monday was the Jets are desperately trying to mold their identity around their weirdo quarterback, and the Steelers' weirdo quarterback has molded his identity around the franchise. And because of that, one worked and one didn't. And I thought that was the best way to break it down.
I saw Russell Wilson's weirdness and George Pickens' craziness meshes together to form a perfect harmony, which it did because George Pickens was being thrown hospital balls that he somehow came down with. Even if a ball was out of bounds, he made a crazy catch. And then Najee Harris not looking like Najee Harris, looking like maybe I'm not ready to say I was wrong about him because I still think he loves wasting movement and taking a bunch of steps and going nowhere. But he looked efficient on Sunday night. He looked strong. He looked fast. He was good. They had a real 1-2 punch going. And I don't know if that's accreditation to Russell Wilson. I don't know if Arthur Smith is finding his rhythm coaching up this offense. They were a little bit better though on offense.
It's got to be toward, not to interrupt you, but it's got to be Russell Wilson that Pickens goes over 100 yards. Van Jefferson gets a touchdown. They had one touchdown for wide receivers up until that game. They had two in that game. Freiermuth is involved in the offense. We haven't seen that at all, pretty much with Justin Fields. I understand what you're saying. A lot of them, they're doinking off of fucking shoulder pads and knocking off of. But what I heard a lot of quarterbacks say is what Russell Wilson is doing is realizing who his best weapon is, and he's willing to put the ball up. Where Fields is so terrified to turn the ball over because he was playing for his life. He was playing for the opportunity to continue being on the field. He wasn't willing to do that. And the Steelers have a couple of weapons that are good enough where you can do that, where you can throw it. And if there's a fucking ball off of a face mask, there's a good chance they're going to come down with it. And I think that's where we're overreacting, right? Like, we're overreacting to Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. They're gonna be fine. I don't know if they're fine enough to make the playoffs. And we're overreacting to Russell Wilson. But if you're just talking about a big old sweaty nutsack, those fucking Steelers fans that were begging for Mike Tomlin to get fired this offseason, I really hope there's a stiff dose of humility for that group. I somehow doubt it.
Yeah, shame on them, but I get it. Maybe it gets stale going to the playoffs every year and having a winning season every year and not having a Super Bowl to show for it.
Torture me.
Yeah, I'm sure. Put me down in that dungeon. I'll take the lashes. I think I could handle it. And this is also Arthur Smith's like wet dream. When he was a huge advocate for bringing Russell Wilson to Atlanta. When he was first getting pitched of being moved from Seattle, it was Russell Wilson to Atlanta. We like the play action scheme. Everything he likes, everything about him, the way he throws the ball, the way he sells the play action. And now he's got it. And if they can keep rolling, they can keep rolling. But the Jets on the flip side are just the Jets. And they have a borderline elite player at every single position on the field, and they have two wins: a quarterback, running back, offensive line, tight end, wide receiver. They all have a guy. Defensive line, linebackers, cornerbacks. They all have a guy that you would sit here on a piece of paper and say that dude's really good. He's a borderline star or a star, and they have two wins, and it's just because they're the New York Jets, which is unfortunate. It just is.
It is, and also it would be better if that team was competitive. It would just be an interesting story for the league if you're a football fan. But I tell you what, man, Aaron Rodgers he just doesn't do himself any favors in his Pat McAfee segments, or he just seems moody. He seems very quiet and understated. And Russ is a fucking cornball, and his press conference is embarrassing. And when he's out there, man, I'm just happy to see this guy make plays. It's like, all right, dude, like, you fucking suck. Like, nobody acknowledges any of your bullshit. But I don't know, man. I would rather that whatever that crazy autistic bravado that he has is over Aaron Rodgers. Like, no, I didn't pick my nose. No, it wasn't boogers. No, no. It's just like, I'm fucking.
That was good Rodgers right there.
Thank you very much, because that's exactly how he sounded on McAfee. Fucking, you're talking about the energy before the game, bro. Who's making more than you? Who's supposed to provide the energy? You have all the influence in this. You go out there and energize these motherfuckers and make them believe they can win.
I need to see him make a big throw. I know he made a big throw 2 weeks ago. He had a throw right on the Bills linebacker hip that it was a throw only he could make. But I'd love to see the rates of his throwing right to the running backs or to the running backs' feet this year compared to every other year's career, because I haven't seen him take less shots down the field before. I'm going to throw it to Breece Hall, and I'm going to throw it to anybody that's in that flat. And that's not his strong suit. His strong suit is putting it in impossible windows where only his wide receivers can get it. I don't think you lose a step with the arm, but whatever he's seeing or not seeing is apparent.
Do you think the Steelers have any? Here's the problem. If Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson stay healthy, the Steelers have no chance to win the division. I don't care what their record says. They're not in the same. The only team that has a chance to win that division on equal playing field is the Bengals, because of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. But they can't get out of their own heads for a fucking, it's not even a quarter of the season now. It's a third of the season. I think it's all for naught, because it's still a 9-win, 10-win season for them, but it's, It's fun to see that gamble pay off right now. Look at this hating ass thirsty motherfucker. Wesley the Barber, $4.99. Thank you, buddy.
Yo.
TJ Watt has never won a play game. Does that mean playoff game? Tomlin is a cool Marvin Lewis. Marvin Lewis got a ring? Did I miss Marvin Lewis getting a Super Bowl ring? What are you talking about? Half the fucking show is about how good the Ravens were, dude. Like, what is it? I mean, how much is enough, crack fiend?
Wesley, the Steelers put up 37 points against the Jets, and the Bengals put up 21 against the Browns. You let me know if you want to really look at this thing unbiasedly, because I didn't think the Steelers were going to put up 37 points in a game this year. I didn't. I'd be happy if the Steelers put up 37 combined in back-to-back games with Russell Wilson as a quarterback. That's a big score.
It's just wild to me. This is why people hate the Ravens and their stupid fans, is that they can't get over their little brother syndrome. Like, they'll never be the bully because Pittsburgh suns them, Washington suns them. Go down the fucking list. Kansas City damn sure suns them. Like, fucking be comfortable in the fact that you're playing the best football in the league right now and enjoy that.
I hate the Saints more than I love the Falcons, but I've never said Cameron Jordan couldn't sack Matt Ryan. I'd never say that DeMario Davis doesn't eat up any Falcons running back for lunch and that Taysom Hill scores 3 touchdowns a game against them. But I can acknowledge that and still have my rivalry and passion.
Thank you in the super chat.
Sorry, Wesley.
Dumb motherfucker. Hey, Wesley, November 15th, Turkey Thanksgiving show for the Chattanooga show. I need you to be there. Thank you. There he goes. That's it. That is it. That, and that's, by the way, it's not all Commanders fans, but the fucking ones that get into my DMs. Oh, you made the wrong call. Oh, I bet you're stupid for going to be a Titans fan. Get in a time machine, motherfucker. 2 years ago. 2 years. Just fucking act like you've been there until you've been there. Act as if when you walk into a room and you don't know the rules, just quietly chill in the corner with a club soda until you figure out what the rules are. Not Commanders fans. Oh, man, we going back to the Super Bowl in the damn ball, Jaden Daniels. You haven't seen this song and dance. You haven't listened to this song and dance before.
Commanders fans are not the scrappy underdog that they think they are, and they're not as likable as they think they are.
The ones I'm talking about, the nasty Twitter ones. There's plenty of ones we both know that we're just happy that
I can be happy for a majority of them, but yeah. For as I don't know if there's a more knee-jerk fan base in the NFL, just reactionary wise.
You don't think all fan bases are a little bit like that? Like they're just waiting to be chesty and dickheads, and they get to be fucking Cowboys fans.
I was ready to fire Kirk into the sun after week one. Actually, after the first half, I said I'm done with this dude. Put Penix in.
Like what Penix did in the blowout? Did you think he did all right?
He had a nice completion on the sideline, and he handed the ball off efficiently. So I think he really is the future.
It's the highest praise you can get for a gunslinger. He handed the ball off. We didn't even get to this, by the way.
Have you ever had a soft team? You know, look, I think when you criticize your team publicly like that, it doesn't always go over well. Not every coach has their own style, and you know, maybe sometimes that can be effective and all, but ultimately I always felt like when a team played bad, that was my responsibility too. I mean, we might have had bad playing, but we had bad coaching. It led to bad plans.
There's some shade being thrown.
So, man, I think it's always best to kind of, you know, take a look at yourself and do what you can do to help the team. And then, you know, if you have constructive criticism as a coach, that's your job. But I don't know, you know, last year the Patriots.
Look how handsome Brady is, by the way. Like, is he aging in reverse at this point?
He might be doing what the one billionaire is doing, where he's getting the plasma transplants and he's just completely cycling in and out.
Get so me a dose of that.
For as many, even old media guys and old coaches, Belichick sounds good. He committed to actually getting the equipment and not sounding like he's in a tin can with bad lighting.
You talking about John Gruden? You're taking some shots at our boy John Gruden.
Oh no, I love John Gruden. I love John Gruden's lean gut. Or you know, it's not even a beer gut at this point. It's the codeine.
Lean. Is that what you say? He's on that purple drink.
You know, people were wondering like why Kanye lost his mind, and then we all figured out his dentist was giving him nitrous. I wouldn't be surprised, is all I'm saying.
Oh, that is a horrible thing to say.
I love his content, but sitting in a dark room with the buggy eyes, reading off of what could I just only describe as a treasure map with Wikipedia articles on it? I am a little concerned.
I love it. How closely do you think he's going to be listening to Trump's interview on Rogan? He's going to have his fucking ear. He's actually put double sided tape. I feel bad for John Mayo for this reason. He clearly is in the middle of some kind of a lover spat between Kraft and Belichick, and he's just getting pushed either way. It is kind of interesting to me, Tor, that the two guys that have kind of come out of the side of their mouths on their players this year are Antonio Pierce and Mayo, and they're the two guys that look like they could still be playing. It's kind of a weird bit where I think they haven't fully transitioned into that coaching where it's like, I'm in the locker room, I'm a whole motherfuckers accountable. It's like, nah, you're the head coach. If you say going into business for yourselves or you say guys are soft, like that is a completely different animal.
Even if you, that is something you say in practice. That is something you yell about how shit your team is or a false start, and you really tear somebody up in practice. Post-game press conferences, you can lose your mind every now and then, but you can't make a habit of it, or else it has to be a very poor circumstance to really go after a team, especially if it's your team, because if you're pointing a finger as the head coach, you got four pointing back at you.
What are you, the boss man? What are you, my old man with that shit? Where the fuck did you dig that cliche up? Big old shovel for that.
I took it from Norton said that Voss had three turtle fingers pointed back at him. And I almost, you drive your car off the road. I really almost crashed my car into a pedestrian laughing at that one.
I'm going to see if I can find this picture. This has nothing to do with it. I got to do 8 more shows tonight, so I fucking probably shouldn't be. Norton put up the funniest picture. Oh, here it is. All right, I got it. So he's in this tiny, I don't know where he fucking could possibly be, but I feel like this photo really captures the way I fill up a room. Compliments only, please. Oh man, he just makes me laugh, dude. That guy makes me laugh.
The funniest. He just is. He commentated a fly, you know, an injured fly on his porch, and he said that the fly had passed gas and that he should be embarrassed. And I saved it to my Instagram reels. Sure. And I watch it maybe once a week because it's so funny. I can't imagine being that funny in real life.
You know what I watch once a week just to make myself laugh?
Hey, I've been getting a lot of emails and texts from fans about the Jet experience.
You haven't.
That's what Gruden reminds me of now.
Oh, come on. How dare you? Fireman Ed, you haven't gotten any emails or any texts that you're not getting on TV enough. The only ones you're getting is thank God you're not on TV as much as you were.
You're a good fan. Just be a good fan. When you start really leaning into the bit, that's when people turn on you. You got to act like it's not happening. If you are truly about the team, just be about the team.
If you are about the team, you don't need people being fans of you being a fan about the team. Look at me. I'm a fan of the team, and all it brings me is pain on every single side of the equation. There is no benefit at all, but that's what it takes to be a fan.
Yeah.
What are you doing tonight, Tor?
Gonna eat a bowl of chunky soup and go to bed.
You figure out new ways to depress me every time we end a show. So not even bread. Do we have any like Saggio cheese crusted jalapeno infused? Nothing. Back.
I got seven to eight of the tomato basil Triscuits that I think I'm gonna put on top of it. And those are good. Those are solid because. So first of all, the flavors there. Everybody that makes a tomato basil flavored chip or something like that, it just tastes like ketchup or it just tastes like barbecue. These, it tastes like the tomato basil, and it's salty enough, and they're heavily dusted, which I really do appreciate. I'll vouch for these Triscuits.
The rosemary Triscuits are the one seed. I don't know if you've had the pleasure.
Oh, those are money also.
I don't know, Torres. Was that a long story?
It wasn't a short story, so I would.
Hey, what do you got?
Both types of sports.
Yeah, what's it do? Go long. Real long.
Oh.
Both types of sports.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.